This is Brother Hanson from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get into our study. We've been studying for a few weeks now in the book of Revelation. And we've been learning a lot. And I know I have, because every time I open this book, I learn something. And we just have to open our mind up and soak it in. Let's get right into our study. We left off about Revelation 14, 13. It's a message of comfort to those yet enduring this great ordeal coming upon the earth. The command, write this, is an indication of the certainty of the blessing. Now, it's difficult for us today to imagine the feelings of the Christians that were going through the Domitian's persecutions. And these persecutions may be very soon to repeat themselves in such great pressure that we never had experienced before. Now, this is very important that we get this, because we may go through it very soon. And are we ready? Are we really ready to go through the kind of persecution that these people went through years and years ago? Now, it could be something that we may experience very soon. So get ready, because we may have to do it again, folks, because this is something that we haven't yet experienced here in this kind of situation here in the America. And let's see here, the harvesting of the earth. Chapter 14, verse 14 and 20. Now, then I looked, and there was a white cloud, and sitting on that cloud, one who looked like the Son of Man, with a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, use your sickle and reap the harvest, for the time to reap has come, because the earth's harvest is fully ripe. So the one who was sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Now, what does this mean? Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, who had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who was in charge of the fire, and cried out in a loud voice to the other one that had the sharp sickle, use your sharp sickle and cut the clusters from the earth's vines, for its grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and cut the earth's vintage. He threw it into a great winepress of God's fury. The winepress was trodden outside of the city, and blood poured out of the winepress to the height of the horse's bridle, for 200 miles. This is sobering. Verses 14 to 20 introduce this execution of God's judgment, depicted as pouring out seven bowls of his anger, by describing it in terms of a grape harvest. And verse 14 hear Christ described in images. By now, familiar in Revelation, drawn from Daniel 7, and the gold crown is not merely a crown, but a wreath. The wreath of thorns, which the Lord Jesus endured, is now a golden garland in which shows forth his glory, a gold wreath like the ones, some of the statues have these gold wreaths. The wreath of victory, like the laurel wreaths given athletes. He holds this sickle, and he's ready for harvest. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Use your sickle and reap the harvest. Now, this is something strange, though. If this is the Lord Jesus, why would this angel, another angel, be telling the Lord Jesus to use your sickle and reap the harvest? The earth's harvest is fully ripe. Is it merely giving a... Now, why would any angel be given the permission, mind you, for the Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to use your sickle and reap the harvest? Now, the angel says to Joel in 4:13, apply the sickle for the harvest is ripe. Come and tread, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for the great is their malice. In 14, 17 to 19, this swinging of the sickle by this Son of Man, which is supposedly Jesus, it's the signal for the workers, the angels, to begin the harvest. 14:20, 200 miles of blood. In the Greek, this is 1600 stadia. The number may be symbolic of the entire world. I don't know. And then again, it may be just in the Valley of Megiddo. We've heard this, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. To the height of the horse's bridle, non-biblical apocalypse, Enoch 100 verse 3 says, and the horses shall walk up to the breast in the blood of sinners. That's in Enoch, book of Enoch. And the chariot shall be submerged to its height. We also found this wording in the Talmud, an ancient Jewish commentary on the Law of Moses, where it describes the bloodshed in a battle which took place at the time of the Emperor Hadrian. Battle is used as an image of the terrible and swift judgment of God and is compared to the pressing of grapes, whose juice is called the blood of the grape. In Ecclesiasticus, this is probably a preview of the battle in 19:19, verse 21. Especially since 19:15 says that in order to show God's power, Christ will tread out in the winepress the wine of the fury and the wrath of God the Almighty. This imagery of these verses is used in the first verse of the famous poem written by Juliet Ward Howe in the midst of the American Civil War. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Did you know that? This is something that we probably didn't think of. We sing this song over and over again. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. This is God's judgment coming upon the earth. His truth is marching on. This graphic depiction of God's judgment on earth compares it to a grape harvest. The grape juice reminding John of blood. It is scenes like this combined with the author's extremely heavy dependence on Old Testament books and texts, which make Revelation seem more like an Old Testament book, except that Christ is in it. How would the Jesus of Luke's gospel respond to the book of the Revelation? You ever think of that? Now, before we get into the seven bowls of God's anger, let's think about this just for a moment. I want to read this in John 14:15. I want to read that out of the American Standard. I mean, New American Standard, just for the fun of it. 14. Let's get something correct here, because it didn't seem completely... something just didn't seem right, that until we go on after reading it in another translation. And I looked and beheld a white cloud. Sitting on that white cloud was like the Son of Man, having a golden crown on his head. Now, he's the only one that can wear this golden crown. But this may be totally different from what we're thinking, because people are going to be given crowns. People will be given crowns. Is this a saint? Having a golden crown on his head and sharp sickle in his hand. But it's an angel. It's an angelic being. Or it's the Lord Jesus himself. Like the Son of Man, having a golden crown. And another angel came out of the temple crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put your sickle in and reap, because the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the ripe of the earth is ripe." And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. And another angel, the one who has the power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Put in your sharp sickle and another the clusters of the vine and the earth, because her grapes are ripe." And the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them in the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now, I'm a little bit hesitant to call this the Lord Jesus. You know why? First of all, two angels were giving him permission to use his sickle. First thing, why would he have a golden crown? Is this angel an angel of very high status? Is this not the Lord Jesus? Because, you know, Jesus doesn't need to be told by any angels to go ahead and thrust in his sickle. He can do it at his own will, because he is the God of the universe and the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm going to have to do a little bit more study on this, because this bothers me. So many comparative scriptures and commentaries depict this as being the Lord Jesus. But who commands Christ to do anything. Nobody. We're going to have to do some more study on it. Well, I'm going to let you go for that reason, because we're going to have to do a little bit more digging on that. So I hope you enjoyed this study. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. And call us, please, 928-368-6766. Leave a message. We'll call you back. Until tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study. Show yourself approved to God.